And that's all working. And I'll put up the study. And here we are again, One Messiah Congregation, Kalcha B'Mashiach. And we're just a little piece of the Israel of God. And it's nice to be here today on the Sabbath. Let's ask God to bless and anoint this study. And I thank God we could all be here. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for another Sabbath day. Forgive us any sin, any blemish, any spot, any wrinkle, anything that would separate us from you, knowing you're so holy and you're so perfect and you're so righteous. Make us like you, living God. Fashion us in the holiness of the Holy Spirit. Bless and anoint this day. Bless the study, bless the conversations, the reading of your word, everything we do today. Let it be to the glory of the living God, for the edifying of the body. Pray you'll send down healing upon everyone that needs healing. Heal our bodies, our minds, and our souls. Make us wiser in this world that's so wicked. Give us revelation of your word, understanding, and discernment. Heavenly Father, give us the fear of the Lord, and I thank God for the blood of Yeshua, which is the free atonement for the forgiveness of sins, the sacrifice. And may God bless you today on God's holy Sabbath. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. Did you invite that person? You text him. Good. Very good. Well, here we are again on the Sabbath of God. Today is November 28, 2015. And what can I say? Time just keeps passing by and keeps going. Lord willing, this coming week we'll have... I turned the electric on at our building, and Lord willing, we'll be in a proper condition here to go hook up the server and the internet there, so the server will be running. And then after that, we'll do a little maintenance on the building, and then we'll probably have some services out there. Mm-hmm. So, Lord willing, everything's starting to come to pass. Mm-hmm. And today's the 28th of November, like I said, 2015. However, God has his own calendar. We're in the ninth month of God called Kislev, the 15th day. And it's nice to know God has his own calendar. And that's Kislev in Zechariah 7:1. Okay? Very good. Well, my ministry is a teaching ministry. And everywhere I go, I try to help people out with different topics and different subjects. I try to undelete things for you and bring things into focus and bring clarity to certain subjects, and I hope that you could enjoy them. My server will be up, Lord willing, next week, I hope. And you'll be able to read them again. You'll be able to watch them, listen to them. You can download them. And if you'd like for me to ever come to your facility, just give me a call. I would be glad to show up. And there's a link on my website when it comes back up, shows you exactly what that takes. Okay? Well, before I start, I wanted to go over a few headlines in the news, which is sort of pretty sad. And this is from the Drudge Report. They have the headline that says, Seasons Beatings. That's beatings, not greetings. Yesterday was Black Friday, and then, of course, Monday, Cyber Monday, which everyone just making a big retail thing out of this. It says, Kentucky Mall Brawl kicks off violence. This is how much they celebrate these pagan holidays. Brutal fighting across America. Women steal veggie steamer from child, wrestles mother. This actually took place. Santa Stampede. It says, swarms raid discount TV display, cop, police are punched. Men caught trying to snatch shopper's child at Walmart. And then, of course, they call this Black Friday Matters. And it's really terrible. And that's just a couple of headlines that are in the news. And you can see that they turned this into a big retail situation. Today's topic is false doctrines abound. And, of course, I get this from just talking to people and wherever I go, and there's just so many doctrines and so many different philosophies and different things floating around. Too many people believe in too many things without evidence and proof. The Bible says to prove all things and to make sure you know what you believe. Mm-hmm. Paul writes to the Hebrews and he says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. And that's really an important little verse there. That's Hebrews 13, verse 9. Just for the record, I just want to make sure everyone should know that if you're ever confronted with this book of Enoch's false doctrine, first of all, there's no scripture in the Bible that says Book of Enoch. Number two, Enoch was before the flood. And if he did write a book, I guess Noah must have had a copy in his back pocket on the ark. You think? I don't think so. That sounds silly, doesn't it? Because how would a book of Enoch survive?
They would have mentioned it.
That's ridiculous. Somebody would have mentioned it too. So, unfortunately, strange enough, there's many different copies of the book of Enoch today, which are just made up. And they contradict scripture, and they're no good. So stay away from them. They have something about the Nephilim in there. And Genesis comes from Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. The Nephilim are simply giants, tall people. They're not fallen angels, okay? You could look that up. And if you know any Hebrew, you could look that up. Besides that, spiritual beings can never have sexual relations with physical beings.
That's right.
You know, we're talking about scripture here, not sci-fi, okay? This is not sci-fi. And if they did that back, let's say that even happened back then, which is not true, why isn't it still happening today? Which is another, it's all false.
You'd be scared to go to sleep
No, there are books in the Bible that we don't have today. I made a list of them. I made a list of few of them. Like in Numbers chapter 21, verse 14, we have the book of the wars of Jehovah. We don't have that book. In Joshua chapter 10, verse 13, we have the book of Yasha. And I'll go over the book of the Yasha that we have today, which is totally erroneous. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18 is also the book of Yasha. And 1 Kings 11, 41, we have the book of the Acts of Solomon we don't have. 1 Chronicles 29, 29, we don't have the book of Samuel the seer and the book of Nathan the prophet. And the book of Gad the seer. That's three different books we don't have. Three different prophets. Samuel, Gad, and Nathan. 2 Chronicles 9:29. We don't have the book of Nathan the prophet. And the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite. And in the visions of Iddo the seer against Jeroboam the son of Nebat. We have none of those writings. And they must have got lost in antiquity. 2 Chronicles 12:15. We don't have the book of Shemaiah the prophet and Iddo the seer concerning genealogies. 2 Chronicles 20:34. We don't have the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani. In Ezra chapter 4, verse 15. We don't have the book of the records of the fathers, and we don't have the book of the records of anything, actually. In the letter to Jude, that Jude wrote, that one chapter, which we have, it doesn't say anything about a book of Enoch. It just says that Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. The scripture here never mentions a book of Enoch, and that's where they get that from. And just moving right along in these false books, today we have a couple of different books of Jasher, and what's bad about them, they all contradict the scriptures. And that's how you know they're spurious and they're erroneous. And I have a list of different errors in this book of Jasher. I could read some to you, I guess. For an example, Jasher 13:5 says that Abraham went to the land of Canaan at the age of 50, then back to Haran and back to Canaan at the age of 75. Well, Genesis, in our Bible, Genesis 12:4 states that Abraham was 75 when he departed from Haran. So that's false. Yasher 18:9 says, one of the angels told Abraham that Sarah will have a son, but Genesis 17:16 says God told Abraham.
That's right.
Yasher 22:44-45 says the Lord got the idea of presenting Isaac as an offering from Isaac's boast to Ishmael. We know, of course, that God is sovereign, and as it says in Genesis 22:1-12, that the Lord was testing Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different things in the book of Yasher. I can keep going, I guess. Yasher 47:9 says, Isaac died according to the chronology of Yasher. Joseph was in Egypt, but in our Bible, Genesis 35:29, Isaac died before Joseph had his dream. So that's wrong. Simeon could not be found in Yasher 51:37, but in Genesis 42:24, Simeon is bound before their eyes. And I can go on and on with this, but there's so many different mistakes in the books of Yasher. Matter of fact, I'm just going to pass this up because it just gets... You know, they just have so many made-up stories. That's why, you know, I'm telling you to stay away from the book of Yasher that's circulating around today. It's erroneous. Here, I'll give you an example. Yasher 7:24-30 says, this passage says that the skins that God made for Adam and his wife went to Enoch after their death, then to Methuselah, then to Noah, then Ham stole them and gave them to Cush. Can you believe a bunch of garbage is that?
I know, it's ridiculous.
Then they were passed to Nimrod, who became strong when he put on the magic garments.
Oh, man.
Yasher says that Esau killed Nimrod and takes Adam's skins.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, this is totally insane. It must be the author's imagination or crazy.
Must be.
So anyway, stay away from all this Yasher stuff. I have a whole list here. Once my website's up, you can go back to this website and you can see a group more of scriptures that are totally erroneous and made up, okay? What I just read to you, you should know for sure that the book of Yasher is totally unscriptural.
So is the Enoch.
And the book of Enoch doesn't exist. There's no book of Enoch. Because I doubt Noah or his sons had a copy in their back pocket on the ark.
And it conflicts with Torah, too.
And it conflicts with Torah. You know, some people are trying to tell me that aliens are the fallen angels, and that's totally absurd. You know, as far as aliens go and people from other planets and all that kind of stuff, I don't really know about that. I only know what I hear and see, especially reports like in 1997, the Phoenix Lights and different cities in Phoenix, and the governor himself, they seen a super amazing, tremendous craft floating over the cities. Now, no one knows what that is or was, but I know it's still not fallen angels flying around in a spaceship. So, you know, whatever that might be, who knows? That's my point, is it's not fallen angels flying around in spaceships and all these other things. So anyway, let's read some scripture. Paul writes to the Ephesians. He says Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth should be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And every wind of doctrine, that is such an interesting term, because there's so many doctrines out there, especially now with the advent of the internet and the websites. It's just a... The internet is just inundated with false doctrine. Peter tells us, there was false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Some of these heresies even deny the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And you know what's sad about this? Most people don't do their homework and research things and verify details and do their due diligence. They just follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And that's really sad. And through covetous, they would feign, that's ungenuine words, make merchandise of you. And their judgment now of a long time lingers not. And their damnation slumbers not. That's true. Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, he's an apostle of Yeshua the Messiah by the commandment of God our Savior, and Yeshua the Messiah, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Yeshua the Messiah our Lord. And Paul goes on in his letter, says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And I don't know why people are just dying to hear. They have itching ears. They want to hear different, I don't know, the wow factor. I never can understand that. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith so do. So watch out for fables and endless genealogies, okay? Because they just gender questions and doubt. You know, the goal of the commandment is charity. The goal, the word end there is telos in the Greek. It means the goal of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. And everybody wants to be a teacher of the Torah, but most of them don't understand what they say nor if they affirm. You know, I was talking to some people the other day, and they were doing certain things that were not in Scripture, and I even said, well, there's no verse that says what you're doing is scriptural. And the person says, well, it's not in the Scriptures, but I feel like, I said, wait, stop right there. I said, you even admit it's not in Scripture. I said, do you even hear what you're saying? Double check yourself. It's not in Scripture. And that's really important.
Teresa can't hear something
happening. Okay. It says, the Torah is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for menslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for menstealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine. And the Bible has many verses in it talking about sound doctrine and stay away from false doctrines. Things you can't prove. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul says, and I thank Messiah Yeshua, our Lord, who had enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Messiah Yeshua. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Messiah Yeshua came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I guess everyone feels that way, right? Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me, first Yeshua the Messiah, might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Amen. You know, I was listening to a study the other day by some guy on the internet. He sounded totally absurd and ridiculous, totally unscriptural. He was saying, he's going on and on about talking about why did Yeshua have to shed his blood? And I thought that was the simplest Bible question to ever know. I mean, but he went in, instead of actually giving the correct scriptural answer, he went into his little, because he's a doctor, he went into all these this medical terms and these crazy thoughts that has nothing to do with Scripture. And I was thinking how sad, you know, he's perverting the Word of God. And a lot of people think it's the wow factor, and it's very cool when it's just heresy. Now unto the King Eternal, Immortal. He's eternal, immortal, and invisible. It's pretty, I like those three words. It says, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And Paul says, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that you might war a good warfare. So you have to know you're in a war right now, even though no one's shooting at you with physical bullets. Satan's out there with doctrines and philosophies and just many different things. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And Paul actually names these two men, Hymenaeus and Alexander, and he's actually kicked them out of the church that they may learn not to blaspheme. And that they're pretty evil men. Paul writes to Timothy again. He says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that even in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And I see people, some people just leave us because they have different doctrines and they don't realize they're doctrines of devils and they're unscriptural. We just stay right on the word. They speak lies and hypocrisies, have their conscience seared with a hot iron. Some religions forbid to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them who believe and know the truth. And that's really sad. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Yeshua the Messiah, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And Paul cautions Timothy, and I caution you and myself, refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. That's really important. You know, that's really important. Exercise is good. But make sure you exercise yourself unto godliness, rather unto godliness. Paul says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, unto the doctrine which is according to godliness, they're proud. They know nothing. But doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Some people suppose gain is godliness. Paul says, from such withdraw yourself. That's really important. You know, you have to be content with what God gives you. That's great gain. Amen. And make sure you hold fast the form of sound words, which you have heard of me, and in faith and love, which is in Messiah Yeshua. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This know, even make sure you know this, that all they that be in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes. So don't be surprised if people leave you because you're trying to tell them the truth. Happened to our brothers and sisters in the past. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, that who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, make sure you preach the word, not someone's commentaries or philosophies or opinions or videos you watch that are unprovable or audios. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And this study that I'm giving today, it really explains doctrine is so important. So you have to know which doctrine you have. And what do you think you believe? And can you prove what you believe? It's very important to do that. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and of course they'll be turned unto fables. And that's really important to know. I'm really happy we got these few letters that were found in antiquity that we could see that Apostle Paul went through all the things that we might be going through today. The brother John says, believe not every spirit. So if you think you feel the spirit, make sure that the spirit and the word agree, which is very important. In other words, the spirit that you think you're feeling and the word of God, make sure it agrees, because the word is spirit and the word is life. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And these people, you know, they're just right in their own eyes. Now, there was a story in the Bible where Elijah, this is 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If Jehovah be God, follow him. And if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. In the book of Judges 17:6, we see there was no king at the time, so that erased any righteous rule in the land. So every man did that which was right in his own eyes, which is really bad. No law. That's in Judges 17 and 21. No king. Every person did what was right in their own eyes. And then in Deuteronomy, even the children of Israel, God says, you shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man right in his own eyes. Make sure you always do everything by hearty counsel and real godly counsel in the multitude of counselors. It's really important. It's really important. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:7, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear Jehovah and depart from evil. That's really important. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. And that's what I just said a minute ago. Godly counsel is really, really important. Very valuable in a time of trouble. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of man are clean in their own eyes, but Jehovah weighs the spirits. Amen. He sees what your ill intentions are. Proverbs 21:2. This must have been an important issue because it says in so many places, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but Jehovah ponders the hearts. Proverbs 30:12. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet they're not washed from their filthiness.
That's right.
So watch out what, you know, if you just judge everything in your own eyes and your own rationale, make sure you always get godly counsel, and out of the mouth of two or more, the truth is established, you know. Book of Isaiah, it says, chapter 5, verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Boy, that happens constantly. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And then again, it says the same thing. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. So it must have been a constant, error that men fell into, being right in their own eyes, and they still do today. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Because after you get drunk, you might justify the wicked for a reward. And you might take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. So God says, therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, and as the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the Torah of Yehovah, Tzevaot, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Wow. You know, this study, over the years, I probably gave different versions of this study, but it's such an important study. Just make sure you understand the doctrine that you believe. Make sure you can prove what you believe. I know it's okay to have an open mind, but the Bible says we're all supposed to have one mind.
Yeah.
Supposed to all believe the same thing.
Open mind just means you can believe anything.
Open mind is okay to, I guess the only thing I would say about that is if somebody brings me something, I'm glad to look into it and verify it. I don't just believe it. That's what I do. And that's the way you should be. Don't just fall for anything. And should you consult with young people and not experienced ones? What do you think? And that's in the Lord. That's not only in age. And we talked about this the other day, so I thought I'd read it. 1 Kings chapter 12. Okay? Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. This is Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. Seems to be the place everybody goes, Egypt. That they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came, and spoke unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous, now therefore make thou this grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we'll serve you. And he said unto them, depart for 3 days, and then come again to me, and the people departed. I could have answered that 1, 2, 3. Couldn't have you?
Absolutely.
And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men, which is very smart to do, that stood before Solomon his father while he's yet alive, and said, mm-hmm. How do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spoke unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto these people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, they'll be your servants forever. Amen. That's just wise. You're still the king. Don't worry about it. But, of course, Rehoboam wasn't of God. He forsook the counsel of the old men, which they have given him, and he consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, which stood before him. And that's what I tell you even about people on Pal Talk. There's so many people that they're not teachers, but yet they just copy websites, and they don't even know Hebrew, and they try to say things, and it's a terrible conundrum we're in. And he said unto them, what counsel, so he's going to the young guys, young men, he said, what counsel give you that we may answer this people? Who have spoken the saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter. And the young men that were grown up with him spoke unto him, saying, This is how you should better speak to the people. Your father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thou shalt say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. That's terrible advice.
Terrible.
And now, whereas your father did lade you with heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father chastened you with whips. I'm going to use scorpions. I'm chasing you with scorpions. And Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, and as the king appointed him, saying, come to me again the third day. And the stupid king, stupid Rehoboam, answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him. And of course he listened to the young people that had no experience, no discernment, no wisdom. And he said, my father made your yoke heavy. I'm gonna add to your yoke. My father chasing you with whips. I'm gonna chase you with scorpions. Boy, that's how many friends were you gonna gather like that? How many people you think would be on your side if you did that? Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from Yehovah, that he might perform his saying, which Jehovah spoke by Ahijah, the Shilamite, unto Jeroboam, the son of Nebat.
Yeah.
So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we an inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed to their own tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. That's the end of Adoram. Therefore, King Rehoboam made speed to get him up and get up on his chariot and to flee to Jerusalem. So the king rebelled against the house of David unto this day. What do you want? Such bad advice. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, they sent and called him unto the congregation. And these people, which have no right to do, they made him king over all Israel. He was a servant. So what happens when a servant rules over you? There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. When Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 84,000 chosen men, which were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God, here comes the God in somebody form, came unto Sheremiah, the man of God, saying, so the word of God is speaking, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, thus saith Jehovah, ye shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house. For this thing is from me. And finally, they hearkened therefore the word of Jehovah, and returned to depart according to the word of Jehovah. And Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went out from thence, and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. So I got to stop this. You know, if the people go up and sacrifice in the house of Jehovah in Jerusalem, in the seventh month, which is the feast of tabernacles, then shall all the heart of the people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. I know what I'll do. This is a real devil thought. The king took counsel with the wrong people, and he made two calves of gold, and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And the people must have been so out of it to believe that. Two golden calves that Jeroboam made. Isn't that sick?
Yeah.
And he set one in Bethel and the other in Dan. That's why those places are cursed.
Right.
And this thing became a sin, of course, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. Can you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine worshiping a golden calf.
Mm-hmm.
When they seen all the miracles God did and the plagues he put on Egypt and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a house, Jeroboam made a house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi, which is an abomination to God.
Mm-hmm.
Jeroboam, he ordained a feast in the eighth month, which is ridiculous, on the 15th day of the month. Isn't that interesting? Like unto the feast that's in Judah in the seventh month, of course. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, and sacrificing unto the calves, which he made. He sacrificed unto calves that he made. Think about that. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even the month which he devised out of his own heart. Out of his own heart, and he ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and they fell for it like a bunch of sinners. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Can you imagine that? And that's why I'm telling you, you better know your doctrine, you better know your Bible, and you better know Scripture. And you better have reasoning. I mean, notice how I use simple little sort of silly reasoning with Enoch in the beginning of this study. Enoch is before the flood. Let's say he did write a book. Does that mean Noah or one of the kids had a copy in their back pocket? How did it make it to the other side of the flood?
And Moses
never mentioned it. So basically, you better prove and know what you believe. don't be caught in a spiritual labyrinth. And that's L-A-B-Y-R-I-N-T-H.
Labyrinth.
Labyrinth. And if you don't know what that is, don't be caught in a intricate combination of paths or passages in which it's difficult to find your way out or to exit.
Bad doctrine.
Watch out for spiritual mazes that Satan will try to put you in, and spiritual networks, and watch out for the web. You know the web, the internet, the web? You could be caught in the web, too.
Mm-hmm.
So watch out for that, okay? Don't be snared or tangled in. That word is very, psychologically, some people are caught in a, some people, after they, like children die and they live on, they're caught in a labyrinth of sorrow. So it's psychological too. It's not just physical. And it's also spirit. I'm trying to look at the spiritualness of this. So don't be caught in a maze or a, you know, a conundrum that you can't get out of.
Or a tangent that keeps you from the truth.
Yeah, and make sure you prove everything. And don't be wowed by people's exciting voice or the way they, their sensational way they speak. And watch out for conspiracy theories and make sure you can prove everything. And like I always say, I know we're not all scientists and we're not all whatever, but make sure you know a little bit about science and know a little bit about everything so you can converse with people, and this way you may know how to answer everyone that God brings before you. Watch out for false teachers, false doctrines, false brothers and sisters, which are really tricky because they look like brothers and sisters, false apostles, false science. I listen to that every day of my life so far, just about. The false science of evolution. Watch out for false prophets, false websites, false videos, DVDs, audios, false holidays and feasts. And there's so many other things that are false. Remember, this is 'tis the season to be pagan. Beware of the false image of love. It's a false image. Remember that. Beware of false feelings and emotions, which some of your relatives and friends might try to bring upon you. And you might go in the store and they have the whole the stage is set with the music and the all the you know, dressings and all the whatever. I want to say gaiety, but you can't even say that anymore. These pagan feasts bring on loneliness, false loneliness, because it doesn't really exist. False depression. Some people even thinking about suicide, and of course, from yesterday, and according to Monday, Cyber Monday, people are going to go into big-time debt. It's just amazing how people go get violent just to buy something.
I know.
You could look some of those stories up on the news. You'll be shocked. People wrestling people to the ground to grab toys and grab things from people and fighting and punching police. And such a horrible world we live in. Xmas is coming again, so be careful. At one time, Xmas was banned in 1659 in America. So we have a lot to think about in this study. And it's not a real long study. And but I believe it's an important study because if you don't know what you believe, you could be wowed into false doctrine. I mean, seriously. If someone comes to you and they have a PhD or a THD or any of these credentials, that doesn't mean anything. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Remember, Yeshua picked fishermen. Think about that. The prophets, I don't remember them having PhDs or THDs and all this stuff. Just make sure you know what you believe and you're able to prove what you believe. And that's really important. I wish I could stress that more and more. Make sure you know about what doctrine you have. And make sure you know who you're around. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Make sure that you're always walking circumspectly. You know, we have many different threats going on in the world, and try to avoid crowds, and try to avoid, I try to avoid crowds myself, because of the world we live in. And always, when you hear doctrines, if you're like me, what I do is I take notes on them, then I go research them. And I always figure out something's true or false. You know, something's either on or off. It's either, what can I say? In plain English, it's either true or false. So be a forensic spiritual detective and try to do what I'm telling you, because it's really important. I hate for you to be tricked into some false doctrine, because Apostle Paul says that having heresies, that's one of the elements that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Heresies. And I know on the internet they got all these false words they're using for Yehovah or Jehovah. And be careful for those people. They don't know what they're doing. And be careful for any false teachers and false people that raise themselves up. Anyway, I thank God we could be here today. And I thank God you're here today. And may God bless you and protect you in this crazy world we live in. This world we live in is not exactly the kindest thing going. You have to be mindful of everywhere you're at. Try to be mindful of everywhere you're at and who's around you, and try to be cautious of... I always try to be cautious of bags that are left around or anything. We live in a very scary situation in this world. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the study. Thank you for cautioning us and making us more aware and bringing to our remembrance these things, Father. Bless and anoint the rest of this Shabbat. I pray you'll touch everyone here with a touch from the kingdom of heaven. Strengthen them. Give them understanding, wisdom, revelation of your word. Give us discernment like never before, Father. Give us a hunger for your word. And I thank God for the blood of Yeshua. I thank God for healing in the mighty name of Yeshua. May God touch you too if you're sick. May God be with you. And may God bless you. And until we come back again, may God keep us in the spirit of God and in the truth of the scripture. And may God be with you. And please pray for us that we can have our little congregation building and get our server running this coming week. And may God bless you too. Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Amen.
And I'll stop the...